Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. Today, I have this powerhouse with me, Ashley Smith, and she is a social media and sales funnel agency, mouthful. She does amazing things and has been in the industry for a while now, but I'm so excited to have her on today. So welcome, Ashley.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate this. This is exciting. I love YouTube.
And YouTube loves you. But with that being said, I would love for people to know a little bit more about what you do, because I know it was a mouthful, but like, can you break it down for us exactly what you do?
Yes. So essentially I live, breathe, eat, and sleep social media.
That's it. Sums it up.
I just thought of this. I have a VidCon shirt. I should have wore that, but this is one of my favorite animes from when I was a kid. So we'll go with that.
Love it.
What I do is a lot of it is social media content creation, managing platforms, and helping my bread and butter really is helping clients stay active and present and consistent on social media platforms. That's really kind of where I got started with my company. And since then, it's kind of evolved. I actually launched my first website in 1998. It was a Spice Girls fan page because I was obsessed. And then I was heartbroken when they disbanded. Like it was dramatic. I remember my grandma, she cut out the newspaper article. That's what happened. That's what 1998 was.
Yes, I'm right there with you. I love the Spice Girls.
But she printed out the article she cut out the article from the newspaper, like the actual newspaper, and gave it to me. And I was just so upset because I already knew, like, I wanted to go to their concert. They were coming to the United States to tour. Anyway, so that page got taken down and has been lost forever in probably an email that, you know, has disappeared since then. So, and then I also helped my dad with his NASCAR fantasy website, his league. I would go in and update score. Like, yeah. So that's what I did instead of trying to find a boyfriend, is I did coding and websites. And so, but yeah, I really fell in love with social media just as a user. And in college, I was taking a course on public relations. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love this. Which, to some people watching this, are probably like, okay. but that's the great thing about this. Is so social media at the time was still pretty new for where I lived, as far as using it as a business tool. But I ended up getting a great opportunity working for a 5-star chamber of commerce, and they had a $3.3 million tourism division. And so I managed the digital assets and their social media presence back in 2012. So it's 10 years this now. Yay.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That I've been doing this legitly. Like it's you know, that business advice where people are like, you know, find something you love and you'll never work a day in your life. And so now I'm in this position where people ask me what I do for fun and I don't have any answers. So that's actually my mission for 2022, is to figure out what I do for fun. And it cannot be work related. So that's what I'm going on from there. And then actually it was in, I think, 2018, maybe 2019, I learned about sales funnels and what they were and how they were impacting and changing businesses, mm-hmm. or helping entrepreneurs and coaches and consultants, and what exactly that did. And one of the things that I like to do is I like to look at the root source. Like, Everyone, in examples, you know, everyone's mining for gold. Everyone's trying to get the gold. Everyone's trying to get the gold. Well, instead of myself going out and mining that gold, I want to make the pickaxes for the miners. I want to get the, like, theoretically, I can't do this in real life, but like the thingies, the shaky things where they
built it. Oh, with the mining. Yeah.
That's what I want to do, is I want to create with the mining. Yeah, that thing. And so that's really what I've built my business around, or what I've added in the last couple of years, especially with the pandemic. There's been more of a demand for those done-for-you services and things like that. There's also been an uptick. Something that I love to do and want to become more involved in is a coaching program. And I want to, like, I want to come up with a fancy name, but at the end of the day, it's a consulting and coaching program. That's what it is. But focused on taking what I've learned over the last 10 years, what I know about social media marketing, and especially what I've done in the last 12 months for myself and other clients, which was through tactics and strategies and sales principles, you know, adding $100,000 to one client's revenue, her bottom line. That was amazing. Having another client message me and say, hey, I had my first 10K day. And then my personal sales hitting those five figures, just by learning and all of this. And I'm like, these are the things that I want to help people figure out and learn. Just because I've been there where so many people are struggling in their business. And I fully believe, I mean, social media is here to stay. I still get some people that ask if they should be on social media. But, and I'm like, oh, yes.
Absolutely.
But it's not a fad. It's not going anywhere. And so I just love everything about it. I love the different industries I get to learn about and listen to. I love not all the feature updates. I like how they try.
keyword. Yeah.
But I'm always learning, and it's always evolving, and so I'm never bored, which was something that I found in other jobs before I launched my own business. Was I would feel as though I learned everything. I became a subject matter expert, and then I was like, okay, now what? Mm-hmm. And then I was always hitting the ceiling working for somebody else, going, well, nothing. And I'd be like, oh, okay, well, I'm bored. I felt like I had learned everything, and maybe I hadn't, but it didn't. The social media and the internet and everything that's going on has just satisfied that curiosity. So I love what I do.
I love it. And I think it's something that is so important because, like you said, social media is not going anywhere. And there's a lot of like social media, different agencies and things. What is what sets you apart from other people? Because I know you have a lot of experience. That's first and foremost. But
so a couple things that set me apart, and these are some things that entrepreneurs don't think about when they're looking to hire an agency or a contractor to do their marketing. Mm-hmm. And so I set out, because I actually had an experience when I was working as an employee in the marketing department, right? I had this experience where we actually fired the agency we were working with, which is awkward. And then we learned through that deterioration of the relationship, the business relationship, that the agency actually owned all of our data and all of the account information and all of this stuff. They sent hard drives with what we called creative files or working files. For those who know Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign, they sent those. But one, it was on for a Mac. And so this is where my techie nerd brain comes in, because when you back up a hard drive using a Mac computer, you can't load those files on a PC. Right. So FYI, for anybody out there, you can't do that. That's true. So that was a challenge because we only had PCs in the office. And then they owned the Google Analytics account for the website. And so it was just, yeah. And these days, data is a controversial topic right now. From a marketing perspective, I'll stick with that one. From a marketing perspective, you want that historical data because it helps you improve, right? You want to know when your users are falling off. You want to know when or what people are clicking on or what they see first. You know, all of these, you know, creepy things that cookies do. Marketers want that. FYI. But so the thing that sets me apart, I believe, is when I'm working with a client and I make sure that it's clear, it's actually in the contract that I have with them, that social jargon and myself or any team members that might come on board in the future or any staff members or third party contract or whoever it happens to be, we will never own that. We will never own your account. We get access to those assets to be able to do our jobs, for me to be able to do my job. But at the end of the day, if it's all yours as the entrepreneur, as the owner. So you're never going to, you set up your Google Analytics account and then provide me access. You set up your Facebook page and provide me access. You know, that kind of thing. Same with So that to me is exceptionally important, especially as people are starting to understand the value, which I hate that word, but it's actually, but you know, the importance, I guess you should say, of intellectual property. And I think that that's really important that the people that I work for should have that. I kind of look at the client agency relationship like a relationship. Well, as like a dating relationship or a personal relationship, where if you like box, I feel like when you don't give your client either those creative files or the access or anything like that, it's like trying to keep them with you even though they're unhappy, and just like you don't or shouldn't do in the real world with friends and romantic relationships. I don't believe that that should be done in business. And And that's a whole money business mindset thing that I've had. So that's one of the ways that I believe that I'm different. I mentioned briefly about a team. I've been really resistant in adding a team.
I think a lot of people struggle with that. A lot of people struggle with that.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I have friends that do this already. They want, but they're making seven figures easy in their businesses, or they have multiple seven figure businesses, or they're aspiring to be a seven figure business. And I started being self-employed and started my own company because I wanted to be able to take care of my family. I wanted to, and needed to, that's a long story, have flexibility in my personal schedule because I wanted to be there for my kiddo. And that meant not having to ask for vacation days and not having to barter and exchange shifts with people. And like, there were bigger goals there. And so as I'm gaining more success and my company is doing well and thriving, yay, it's letting us have a certain lifestyle that we're trying to achieve. But I have also found out that because, you know, live within your means and stuff like that, within your means and your dreams, right? I personally don't need $1 million business. I think it would be cool. I was always that A student that wanted all the achievements and all the certificates and stuff because that just made me feel good. So I need to be like, I did this, but... Because I feel like there's a point, my husband and I have talked about this, and I'm just like, what do we do with the money? And he's like, oh, I can help you with
that. Of course you can.
I'm like, don't worry, honey. I got you. I can help. You know?
Very giving.
Yeah, so, and I think, I believe that in order to hit a seven-figure mark or multiple seven figures, that you do have to grow and you do have to expand your team. So, I know that working on my own limits myself into some of those possibilities. Who knows? Maybe I'll get more into speaking. But But that's the thing is, so when you work with me, you don't get a bot unless I'm out of office, which, by the way, out of office messages like are like the very first bot. You get me. So you get my number to text and call. You get my email address. It's not filtered through a VA or anything like that. So I do have some automation features, but they are exceptionally mindful of the user, because I have friends that will also have like the auto reply feature on Instagram. And I'm like, so I'll like, you know, mention them in a story, and then I'll get a bot response back, and I'm like, oh my gosh, just turn this dang thing off. So, you own all of your own intellectual property. I work as a 1099 contractor, and you work directly with me.
I love it. And, you know, I think there a lot of people don't realize, too, the content, like the intellectual property as well, how important that is, especially as you grow or just anything that can come up. I know a lot of agencies that do, like, don't have the same regulations and in contract that you have. And I think that does set you apart. Obviously, just your, and like the relationship that you build with people, it's really a partnership when you're coming into anything. But like, it's really about, especially with social media, because that's your image, that's what you're putting out there too. And it's protecting that, but it's also the person that's behind that as well, being able to really protect that person that you're working with as well, being able to put that brand out, put that, just all the information out there too, in an effective way. Because I do think funnels have become a new thing, I guess, in recent years, right? It's like not, it hasn't been around forever in this regard.
Yeah, it hasn't. I mean, I just discovered it recently. I think it's been around for a while. I think the most common, not hashtag not sponsored, I think the most common solution people are familiar with is ClickFunnels with Russell Brunson. Mm-hmm. And again, hashtag not sponsored. I'm not an affiliate. I actually use a competing software program that I'm a founder and a reseller for. Sorry, Russell, if you
somewhere. You might see it. You never know.
Yeah, I'm like, I like your videos. But yeah, it's new, especially because I'm in the Midwest. So The joke is, oh, we're 5 years behind the rest of the world. Yeah. And I tell people that's because they're the beta test. And then we want to make sure it works right. And then we do it.
There's a protocol.
So, yeah, exactly. It's like, no, let's see how it works in California. And then we might, and then maybe.
I love it.
But yeah, and I like being on my client side. And I think that I've had so many influential people be on my side that I didn't even realize that they were on my side. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just one of those things where I just want people to know, you know, read your contracts, ask those questions. Because I think we've been in situations, not just business-wise, but personally too, where it's an expensive lesson to learn when the person who you're working with doesn't have your back, or there isn't this middle ground of understanding and that kind of things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's so important, because too, at the end of the day, it is business. Both are businesses, and like, you're helping a business, you are a business. And what was that like for you? Like, because I know just having that flexible schedule, not having to worry about other outside factors, like starting your own agency, what was that like for you?
Terrifying. it was absolutely terrifying. I started out really slow. I actually started, I had an epiphany one day and realized at my main job that if I had people in the community sharing content on social media, then I could just share what they did and I didn't have to make it all. Like, it was a win-win. Like, our viewers would see it, their viewers would see it, they would see, like, we would have this amazing interaction, which only works when there weren't a lot of local businesses at the time that were on board with this Facebook thing, because it was weird and but a small town America for you, and it's got great you know, just a wonderful attraction to it, but There's some resistance there, just to some check. And so I actually started teaching as Facebook for Business. Mm-hmm. And this was before scheduling tools were available.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. so I think the main ones were Hootsuite, not sponsored. And also Facebook had just launched their in-page scheduler. And your news mm-hmm. feed looked different and video was not a thing. And there were all of these steps and everything to this. Like, I had a system in place. But there were so many steps in that system that I was teaching, and people were like, so how much if you do it? And at first I was like, no, that's not, I have a job, you know, that kind of thing. But then that was really the start of when I realized the restrictions of my 9 to 5 in order mm-hmm. to be there for her. It's not supposed to, but it was probably all in my head, but I started to feel as though I was being looked down at for wanting to leave an hour early to go to this or do this or you know, take this day off because this was going on at home. And mm-hmm. it just got to this realization of, okay, well, at that point it was like, okay, I can use this extra money for this. Okay, let's do it. And then at the end of 2017, I was working at a job that I would wake up and cry because I didn't want to go. It wasn't what I wanted to do. But for a very long time, I felt like I needed a job. I needed a job with benefits. I needed health insurance. I needed all of these things. Mm-hmm. And it finally hit the breaking point where I was just like, it's either take the risk and go out on your own and mm-hmm. get what you're looking for and figuring out all that other stuff, or mm-hmm. you can stay here and be miserable with your life because you're stuck here. So that was mm-hmm. kind of it took me a couple years to gain the courage to be full out, because I was freelancing. But I was never like, no, this is it. This is what it should, you know, this is what I should be doing. But it was always there. So
I think that's also just to like highlight that, because I think a lot of people, when they start a business, they think, okay, well, I'm going to be an overnight success, or they see other people and they're like, wow, they just like got so successful so quickly. But it's like the grind in between. But like being able to also know in yourself and take those calculated risks, that's what entrepreneurship's all about, and believing in yourself. And from the experience you had too, what was really like outside of all the like health benefits and everything that went along with having a 9 to 5, because there's nothing wrong with a 9 to 5, because I mean, entrepreneurship is not for everybody by any means. But what gave you that courage to really, like, with the freelancing, like, you already had started it, but what was that like ultimate moment where you're, if you have one, or the aha moment that you're like, yes, like, it's time to move on?
So this is actually one of the questions that I know you had prepared. And so this is not financial advice. I have to stress that so much before I'm about to say this. I was so miserable, and I had people in my ear saying, no, you can do this. No, people need this. People need your service. Like, it's fine. But I had comparitis or whatever, what it's called, an imposter syndrome, and all these other, you know, buzzy words that people help you with now. Mm-hmm. And I landed another client, which at the time put me at like, I was then making like $1,800 a month freelancing. And I figured out all the bills, and I figured out like what I needed and all this other stuff. And I had another client sign with me. And I was like, I could live off of this. I just need more clients, but I need this. I finally looked at the numbers and went, okay, I need this many clients at this rate within this amount of time, and then I can live off of this. Yeah. And so I would wake up in the morning, like half an hour before my shift would start, I would cry, I would get ready, and I would go to a job that I hated for 8 hours of my life. And then when I was off, I would wake up at 6 a.m. and get content done and be working on strategy and and graphics and posts and everything for my clients. And so again, not financial advice. I gave my 2 weeks notice at the place. And then for my own security blanket, I went out and I put a second mortgage on my home. So, and so like when you're asking like what exactly like kept you going or motivated, it was now it has to freaking work. Like now it has to work. I just put the biggest asset on the line in my life in order to have this opportunity, and it paid off. But it was really, and I think that you hear so many stories about people, they hit rock bottom and, you know, all of this stuff happened, you know, they went to jail and they hit bankruptcy and their wife left them and their dog died and all of these things. And they're like, but I persevered. It's like, because you're scared. Because you have to make, because it has to work. And the beautiful thing about it is, you know, I didn't have I'm going to call it a distraction, for lack of a better word or descriptor, but like, I didn't have the distraction of a 9-to-5. I now had 8 more hours in my day to focus on my dream. And then I had the financial resources to be able to do what I needed to do. And it was a shoestring bootstrap operation, and that's okay. And I think people need to realize that that's okay. And it comes down to more. I mean, yes, you have to be passionate, and yes, you have to be motivated and probably a little scared. But if you're very intentional with your time and very strategic, and you're always kind of looking at, okay, how can I make this work? And you're not afraid to put in the work, right? Mm-hmm. It definitely can be successful. And that's across the board. It's just investing in the tools and the resources that are going to help you get there, which is also hard when you're like, I don't have any money. That's one of the biggest things that I wish I would have done at the very start, was found a business coach, found a coach to help me through my weak points and my weaknesses, because yes, it would be a monetary investment and a sizable one, depending on who you're working with. And I have thoughts on that. That's another time. But it's essentially an accelerator track whenever you invest in someone that's going to help you, because you're taking their experiences that could have taken you 18 months to figure out. And they're like, no, do this. So yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, it's just, I mean, you said so much there that I want to like dive into, because there's such great points too, because I think people don't realize too the amount of time and effort that goes into something. And like what you're saying, like with putting a second mortgage on your house, that part of that is other people have different situations, but it's do or die, basically. Like you're all in, you go all in, and it's terrifying, but the belief that you have in yourself, and also you had so many people around you saying, yeah, you can do this, or yeah, can you help me with this? And like coming to you. And that's how I think a lot of times it starts, where it's like a side hustle or something, and people just keep coming to you because of your knowledge base, because of your work ethic, because of the results you produce as well, mostly. But again, it goes back to that connection, that relationship building. People work with people. That's the bottom line. You can have the best service in the world, but it comes down to you as a human being. And I think that speaks volumes too of like your experience of just who you are as a person. But even with everything that you've gone through too of making it work, and you know, people do, like when their back is against the wall, they're going to make it work, and because they want to too. And like, even when you left your 9-to-5, being able to really understand the depth of, okay, I have 8 more hours a day, and that shift of energy. So like when you had a day off, waking up at the crack of dawn, you're like, let's go, I'm ready, versus the days that you had to go to your 9-to-5, like that energy shift, it's like really just tuning into how you feel about things. Because I mean, feelings can be very powerful, but it's like trusting your gut. And that's like what I keep hearing from you too, is like you trusted your gut. It might have been terrifying, and it is, But you like persevered through that, just like the story you were telling of just somebody who's hit rock bottom. It's perseverance. And that's what it takes to be an entrepreneur as well. Like not giving up when you hear no, or when there's rejection, or when you're like, okay, I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm going to make it work. I have this amount of money in my bank account. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. But I think it comes down to when we have a passion for something, there is that motivation, that is the drive. And to your point about having a coach or having somebody who has that experience, somebody who like does not have any social media experience or even asking you, hey, do I need social media for my business? I mean, social media is so powerful for our businesses to get out there, especially with COVID the last 2 years, being able to really push through that of if you had a brick and mortar, a lot of people had to close their businesses because they weren't essential businesses, or just lack of funds to run the business, or people getting sick, like so many factors outside of our control. But when it comes to social media, the reach is so much greater. And that's what I really wanted to like drive home for people to understand too, how important it is. I know like I have a social media, but I mean, it's me. I have a team for YouTube, but that's a little bit different. And every social media platform is different. I would love for you to just kind of speak on that too. Like I know there's funnels, but when it comes to the different platforms, how do you manage all of that?
Yeah, so this is how I don't get bored.
See, there was a madness to it.
Yeah, so what a lot of it is, there's several different misconceptions or that people hold. And they hold them because there's a bunch of other people in my industry who are sharing this information, right? They're people who have built businesses on how to find your niche. Or niche, however you say it.
Both way.
Yeah, niche, however.
Wherever you're from.
Yeah, I don't know. And the thing is that it's like, stop that. if you focus on your specialty, if you focus on the problem that you solve, if you focus on the results that you bring to people, it doesn't matter if they're a stay-at-home mommy blogger or a seven-figure multi-million-dollar business. They still want the result, which is solving the problem that they have, right? Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to social media, I tell people when picking a platform, because only don't be like me. I have a social media account everywhere because I want to know what's going on. And it's kind of my job. But for you, yeah. for other people where you're not a digital agency, you know, pick the platform that you enjoy showing up to, because it's kind of the same thing. It's like Facebook, you know, Facebook has all of these features and they have this and this and this. It's so noisy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to Instagram because all it is pictures and video content. Or people, mm-hmm. I mean, there's, I actually have friends that are like, I'm tired of watching videos. What's a social media platform without videos? Tell me, you know, that kind of thing. The trick for knowing like the little nuances and stuff like that is to be involved in the community. Click the buttons, see what kind of conversations going on, see what kind of content works. And so that's one of the things where like with Facebook, there's so many different options and so many different features and abilities that you can use with the platform, it kind of becomes this huge dump of everyone being on the platform. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. But on the other hand, it's like, okay, with Instagram, they just recently did this where they're allowing you to tag or add an event reminder to your posts. Kind of like the sticker, but it's now in your feed so people can get a reminder that, hey, an event's happening soon.
I just learned something new. Thank you.
So I should also, here's the blanket disclaimer that I tell everyone. The information I'm sharing is relevant as of today's recording. It could change in 5 minutes. So don't yell at me if things are different. But you still don't get like an interactive experience over there. There's still not a Facebook group type situation on Instagram. So it comes down to, what are your goals? What's your strategy? What are your offers? Like it's a very, it's, is complex, but it's also simple because it's just what tools are you going to use? Which platforms are you going to use to get you there? And some just have natural synergy to each other. So for example, I don't hang out on Twitter a lot. I'm on there because I want to know, again, I need to know what's going on. Kind of like Reddit, because Reddit scares me. That's like the negative space of the internet, I feel like. But
I concur.
I don't have any drama, thankfully, knock on wood. So I read other people's drama. Anyway, but like there's a very close association between YouTubers and Twitter. Just like there's a very close association with people on Clubhouse using Instagram. So there's a lot of pairings, but a lot of it just determines on what you're trying to get to and what the majority of your chosen platforms is actually like accepting of. And it's a matter of adapting to features and things like that are happening on the platform. YouTube used to have to do polls and then they got rid of them. I don't know why, but they did. And so it's just, once you start using it, you figure out, oh, this is what's going on, and this is what's going on, and oh, this is different, and this is what's happening here, and Pinterest is adding this. Oh, that's really cool. And so for me, keeping up with it is I have resources and daily news and updates and things like that are happening. Because I'm constantly on it, because that's my business, right? That's why people hire me, is to know this, so they don't have to, because they're busy being a surgeon, or they're busy, you know, taking care of children, or they're busy, you know, designing clothes, you know, things like that. They're like, social media has become very overwhelming if you let it, and it's just like, there are new and fun and exciting things happening all the time. But if you spend time on the platforms, you learn it way faster. And that's my biggest advice for people who are interested in a certain, interested in having a presence on a platform. Now there are some people that I've told them, you know, because TikTok, of course, has been a huge question. I have clients asking me, do I need to be on TikTok? And because I pay attention to the platform, I'm able to tell them, well, there's a pretty demanding production schedule, because there's a demanding posting schedule, and and it's all video. So now you don't have to show your face, you don't have to dance, you don't have to, you know, wiggle your butt or anything like that, but it's very video heavy. And so to be on that platform, it requires more time and more resources. So I'm not saying no, I'm just trying to set an expectation of where to be, because I know people who are on TikTok and they spend 3 days a week just shooting their content. And that's just on one platform. Yeah, that's a lot. So, but yeah, I hope that answered the question.
Yeah, no, it absolutely did. And I'm curious, because I know you mentioned you're a mom, and I know that, but being an entrepreneur and being a parent, how have you seen that like play out in work-life integration, like being able to do it all, or like what that looks like for you as a mom and an entrepreneur?
No, it's honestly, it's great. There's a little bit more planning and organization that needs to happen. Our kiddos are now teenagers. One is actually in college. So it's a little bit more, we have a group calendar on Google is how we manage our life, because I basically told them, I'm like, I need to know when you have something happen, when it happens. If you need to go somewhere, if you need picked up, if you're like, if you need mom taxi, you need to put it on my calendar. So I've trained them and my husband to put it on the calendar. Yes. You know, if you've got a band concert, you got a choir concert, because we have a blended family too. So there's another layer of complication. But it's like, absolutely, put it on there so I know not to book something, right? Mm-hmm. And but it's just been nice to really know if I want to say spoil, but maybe it is spoiling because they're teenagers, but they can't drive. So what, but like, they don't ride the bus because I can take them to school and I can pick mm-hmm. them up. I just don't schedule anything during those times. And I think it's just, that was the thing that I found working for somebody else took from me that hurt me so much, was I didn't feel like I was an active present parent. Mm-hmm. And not to get too involved in it, but I was also the non-custodial parent for mm-hmm. 10 years in my kiddo's life. So mm-hmm. that was with the challenging relationship, we'll just say that. And mm-hmm. so that's a whole nother book.
Like, we're gonna just have to have you back on.
Yeah, but yeah, that was one of the most meaningful things for me. So yeah, now I have to kind of check myself because I'm like, oh my gosh, why don't these kids drive? Why, like, do it yourself, you know, that kind of thing. But I think it's also important to remember too, one, that's why I started this business. Mm-hmm. So I could do that yes. because anybody will tell you time is our most valuable asset because you can get money back. You can earn money back. You can't mm-hmm. get time back. Like mm-hmm. our kids are never going to be this age again. They are. And that's what I'm trying to coach the college aged one on too. I'm like, okay, you are so, she's my karma. because she's very I remember my mom telling me since from a young age, just act your age, like just act your age. And I was like, why? and so she is so focused on and hardworking and driven towards her goals that I'm sitting there, this is where the karma comes in, and I'm sitting there going, you're never gonna be 20 years old again. I understand you want to do this. I understand you got cool stuff going on and you got to work hard for it because we keep telling you that. But like, you're never going to get this time back. So how do you want to spend it? And so that's what I just keep reminding myself when I get tired of being Uber. Free Uber.
Well, they're definitely lucky to have you. And I think I just like to kind of sum it up too of everything you've said is priorities, prioritizing your time, your energy, and the values, like really living within your core values is what it sounds like you're doing on a day-to-day basis, being able to really provide that quality time with your kids too, even though sometimes you're like, I don't want to be Uber today, but at the end of the day too, it's that quality time that you're never going to get back, but that you're really being there for your kids in that way. And that's exactly the reason behind starting your business. And I think that's just so empowering to hear too, because some people might not want to do that or know how to do that or what that might look like. And you're just another example of how you were able to manifest that in a way and just be very diligent of how you are going to be able to make that happen, because that's exactly what you wanted and you got it. Maybe not exactly every day, but
your own sandwich. No.
I love it. There's so many more questions I could ask you, but we're going to do the rapid fire questions and then wrap up. But because I don't want to take up too much of your time, and I love the conversation. But my first question is, who is your hero?
This is hard because I don't think I have one. Mm. Because yeah. I thought about it, and like probably the most influential person or people to me now, mm-hmm. and it's really cheesy, but it's my mom and dad.
That's not cheesy.
I mean, like, it's cheesy, but they are just an amazing couple, and a married they set the bar freaking high, man. Like I didn't even realize until I was an adult, which is also cliche, but it's one of those, like, my parents were high school sweethearts. They've been married together since that, like, they didn't fight in front of us. My mom celebrated her retirement 2 months ago. My dad celebrated his retirement a year ago. People amazing. Their age aren't being able to retire anymore.
But very true.
But they have just been not only rock rock solid people, individuals, but a mother and a father and a great example of a successful marriage. They just help me in more ways than they realize. I think I should probably tell them that and before this goes out. But I didn't realize how unique and how special that was until I started talking to other people, friends, because I have this weird thing, like the privacy thing. It's like, well, I don't want to ask weird questions, but through friends sharing their experiences of growing up and their relationship dynamic with their parents, I'm like, oh, that's that I don't go through that. I've never had that happen. So they are inspiration. They have set the goals. And I swear when my mother passes away in 100 years, because that's how long my mom's going to live.
Absolutely.
She is going to be escorted to heaven with like the Beatles and Queen playing in the background and her own limousine and like diamonds all over her. Cause she's just a saint, that woman. She's so nurturing and caring.
They sound like amazing individuals that just truly have put the expectations high, but also really being able to give that perspective to you. Because I mean, being a marriage and family therapist prior to my coaching career, like seeing different couples, seeing different interactions, it really shows you a different side of things that you might have not experienced before. And because of how you grew up too, like hearing different stories too, I'm sure it just gave you a different lens of appreciation for your parents, but also seeing them in a different light as well from other experiences.
Absolutely.
I love that. And definitely not cheesy. That's so empowering and warm-hearted. So my next question is, what motivates you to work hard, work smarter? What is that? What's the motivation force?
I love what I do, if that hasn't been clear yet. And
not at all.
And I know that the only way I'm going to be able to keep it is to keep going. I have an exit strategy, but I have like a goal, but not like I'm closing my business, this is what I want. And, I just believe that you show up and you do good work and you have integrity and ethics and you follow that through and you do right by people. And that's how I want to operate in order to keep what I've worked so hard for. And that's the whole goal, is I do what I do because I want to keep my lifestyle, because I'm happy with it. So
it's a great place to be. It absolutely is. So with this great life you have, if you were a superhero, so like add that to your list, what powers would you have, or power would you have?
Crap. It's changed. So, well, because before, if you would have asked me, my husband and I lived 600 miles apart for 5.5 years, basically our whole relationship until last fall. And I would have told you teleportation.
Ah, it's a hot easy one.
Easy, just like, boom, done. I want to be like Samantha from Bewitched, only without the nose twitch, because I can't. Do that unless I'm like,
it's like satisfied. I get it.
But yeah, I want, like, I don't know if that's a scapegoat, because she can like do everything, but yeah. I really kind of like telekinesis, move things with your mind. I also love Charmed, so that's why I know that.
I love that. That's a cool, I haven't heard that one yet. I think that's an awesome one.
Yeah,
nice. So if you were to share a meal with 4 individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
Oh, gosh. Okay. I would like to, because I never actually got to meet him, but my grandfather on my mom's side. And yeah, for that matter, yeah, my grandfather on my dad's side. They're both gone. But just those as I'm getting older, those family members are, I'm realizing the importance of their stories and what they've learned. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I have it, like, there's stories that my grandma shares with us about, you know, just from her experience. She's from the UK. And so what the war was like, don't ask me which one, but a war. And I'm really bad at history. That's not my favorite subject.
It's all good.
But yeah, so those people, definitely. I would also, there's so many actually, but okay. I think I would want to also talk to I want to talk to Ryan Reynolds. Actually, with all of his work. And I mean, just he's funny. Yeah. He seems funny.
He seems like it. He definitely does.
And so I think having a conversation with him would be really, really interesting. And then I would like to actually speak to Lucille Ball.
Ah.
Yeah, I didn't realize what I was watching and why she was so iconic. But growing up, like I mentioned, Bewitched and I Love Lucy and, you know, I Dream a Teeny, Happy Days, all these were part of my childhood. But when, as I'm an adult and there's now, again, not sponsored, but there's the Lucy and Desi movie on Amazon that just came out.
Yes, I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, and there was a movie with Nicole Kidman, who I thought was just, I haven't seen her in anything like that before. Probably because we watch so many kids movies. So I just think of her, you know, as like the evil lady in Paddington or the evil lady in The Golden Compass, or she plays a lot of evil ladies in kids movies.
It's her niche.
I'm just what she did for women in the entertainment industry, what she and Desi did for television in general, and what she like it's just so much to realize as an adult, when you know, when I was a kid and just watching it with my dad and it was like, aha, funny grapes, like, or the candy. You know, the candy. Yeah, anyway, so that's who I got.
I love it. And I do think too, we might not realize like the impact of what we're watching at that moment, but like when we look back of just the empowering aspect of it, the icon of Lucille Ball as well, just being able to really understand how she changed television and Des as well. So I'm really excited to watch that. I haven't watched it yet, but it sounds like it would be a really fascinating meal, just having your grandfathers, Ryan Reynolds, Lucille Ball. I'm sure it would be a comedy show just there.
I want Ryan Reynolds to explain Twitter to the other three. That's what because they're gonna be like, "What the heck is happening here?" Yeah, that's what I want. That would be great.
I would love to see what it would look like with Lucille Ball with like being able to have like a Twitter. Like, how comical would that be?
I'm gonna hold on. Sorry, I have to see when she passed away. Okay, yeah, so 1989, so yeah, way before any kind of social media ever. Like, can you imagine, like, Lucille Ball on Instagram or TikTok? She would be so good on TikTok. Oh, my God. Well, I mean, she started her career, too, like, what, she was in her mid-30s, which is, was considered old.
Right.
And, I mean, like, if she had YouTube... Back at that time, like, I just, anyway, mind blown.
The possibilities would be endless, I feel. Oh, man, it really makes you think. I feel like we could go on a tangent with that. So what is the most daring thing that you've ever done?
Yep, putting up the house to get the business going.
Yep, I concur. I feel like that is very daring, but it paid off. And what is the phone app you use the most? I know social media is your jam, but out of all of them, if you had to choose one.
It's YouTube.
YouTube. We're on the right platform, guys. I love it. What is the last book that you've read?
The last book that I read, okay, this is so bad. Like,
or audio.
I can't do do audio because my brain won't let me, like, I'll tune it out. Because I grew up in a family of six people. So noise doesn't bother me like it does everyone else. And I'll just, like, like, my husband will be talking to me. And he's like, did you hear anything I said? I was like, oh, no.
You're like, sorry, I missed that one.
it's really convenient, actually, to for sleeping. I'm in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. The one that I'm in the middle of is The Simple Path to Wealth, Your Roadmap to Financial Independence and a Rich Free Life by J.L. Collins. It was actually recommended to one of the gals that I am part of their mastermind. And I told her I had some outrageous financial goals that I want to get towards. And so she recommended me looking into this. And so that's what I'm currently in the process of reading.
Well, thank you for the recommendation. I will take it. And if you guys have read it, let me know below. So if you were to have a movie about your life thus far, who would play you?
I don't know. I would want it to be someone funny. Because I don't feel like I'm very funny, but I feel like if somebody who...
I beg to differ.
So, like, my first thought, because of the Korean-ness, is Margaret Cho. I thought that would be kind of funny. But yeah. So someone with some great comedic timing and a really good script. That's who could also cry.
There you go. We have to have all the emotions. It's a roller coaster, right? I love that. I think that would be a really good film. if you have one, a favorite family recipe that you have?
Oh, gosh. Favorite family recipe.
Whether you make it or eat it or traditional.
Yeah. So the thing that I actually got from my mom, and I love my mom, but cooking isn't one of her strong suits. I love her. She's amazing. But it's actually one that we make regularly as well. It's homemade chicken cordon bleu. That's what we do. So, yeah.
So if you had to describe yourself as an animal, what animal would it be?
Oh, gosh. I'm a corgi.
Okay. And why?
Because I'm short and I have bursts of energy and I like naps.
Makes sense then. And they're so cute.
They are. I know.
It makes sense. It does. I love it. What is one thing that instantly makes your day better, no matter what is happening?
Food. Good food, not like the food that I'm craving, let's put it that way. So if I want to if I want a McDonald's breakfast sandwich, or if I decide I want hard-boiled eggs and pistachios or a steak dinner, I like food.
Food's good for the soul, you know, it truly is. And what is your favorite way to spend your day off? So if you have, like, no clients, no work, no nothing, what do you do?
This is what I'm working on.
Yes.
Right now, it really is. It's actually spending time with the family, because we have teenagers who, you know, you're a teenager. You don't want to hang out with your parents. You don't want to do anything. You want to be with your friends, right? You know, that kind of thing. So really, it's any kind of interaction or anything that gets us all together. And even just spending quality time alone with my husband, because we have teenagers. So calling up my mom now that she and I are now apart with long distance and stuff. And so it's just reconnecting with people in an actual conversation, not text messages or DMs or posts and comments and stuff like that. So that's what I like to do. And video games.
Do you have a favorite video game?
We play a lot of Minecraft. And with Tom Holland's Uncharted that that came out last month, which is fantastic. I love it. Chef kiss. that's resurfaced its way up there. It's a really good movie, and you don't have to know or play the games in order to enjoy the movie. And so side note, you know how when you see like a teenage actor or a young kid or whatever, and you're like, one day they're going to be attractive. Mm-hmm. Uncharted is Tom Holland got hot movie. It's like, oh, the kids grew up.
They really came into their own.
it was just, it's so good. It's so good.
I love it. Well, it sounds like a really good game and movie, both. So my last question for these, at least, is what is something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
I would say there's a really big misconception on how much time things take. I think. Because I love technology. I'm total tech head over here. And I've been doing, I had my first email address when I was 8. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Because my dad's like, you want an email address? I'm like, okay, what's an email? What do you do with an email address? So it's always funny when he's now asking me how to use his phone because he taught me about email. But so.
Full circle.
Yeah, exactly. So. There's a speed thing because like I don't have to do the research. I can just do like I do this every day, like boom, 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 like here you go. And there's this misconception that one, that everybody works like that, and two, that's an expected result, like that social media doesn't take that much time. Like, well, it takes 2 minutes to make a post online. Like, why are you charging so much? Or why does this take so much time? Or why can't we get it done faster? And at least for what I'm trying to do and the services that I provide, it's not just a post. There's more to it. There's some strategy, there's some branding, there's some PR stuff, you know, all of these different sales, right? All of these different things that are part of it. And so I found that people who have that kind of perception of, oh, well, it doesn't take that much time. Like, it takes 2 minutes to do this. I know that they don't necessarily understand how to use social media the most effectively or leverage it the best. They're just kind of... I found that they're just seeing stuff that's happening online and going, oh, I can do that. And they do the copy paste method, which is a method. But it doesn't work for everybody because if you do that, it doesn't guarantee you the same results. So
that is true. Yeah, no. And I think that's also really like important to understand the fact that it's not just a post. There's so much that goes beyond that, and it's really important. And that's why I think it's so important that you came on today to really explain what it is, because there's a bunch of different things that happen, come into play, but the way you work, and I think it's amazing what you do. And I mean, that's not my genre, but I wanted to really promote that. And so speaking of that, where can people find you and what are you offering right now so people can know how they can get in touch with you and hire you?
Yeah, so lots.
And we'll put it below. We'll put it below as well.
We'll put it below. The most active right now where I'm at is Instagram. So that's the best way to reach me. But pick a platform. That's what I'm going to tell people. And yeah, I've got, of course, done for you services when it comes to social media marketing. And that's a whole different umbrella. So I like to have a consultation call where we can talk about what exactly you're looking for. And if I'm not the right fit, I pull out a name and contact information from my little black book of amazing people and connect the two of you. And then I also have the group coaching program and consulting program where I'm going to help guide people through adding that five-figure day, having the additional six figures added to their bottom line. Super excited about that. And then for anyone who's more on the sales funnel side, I actually have an offer that I'm working on. It's not published yet, so you'll have to follow me on social media to hear about that one. But this could be a lot of technical jargon for you guys, so I'm working on creating an explanation video. That'll be on YouTube. But it's a two-step sales funnel and all the components for it, for your downloadable, for your course, for your retreat, whatever it happens to be, all of the parts and pieces completed within 3 days. So you're up and going and ready to rock. So
really I love it. All the 3 days. 3 days and you're set. Yep. I love it. Well, Ashley, thank you so much for taking the time today to come on, and you're a wealth of knowledge. You truly are. Everything that you say and do, there's just so much results behind it as well, not just what you're saying, but what you do. So make sure you follow Ashley. Thank you, Ashley, again for taking the time. We loved having you on. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Well, we will all see you next video, but make sure to like, subscribe. And what did you get from Ashley? There was so much, but what was like the biggest takeaway? Let us know below in the comment section. Thanks again, and we'll see you soon.